Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
Welcome to the URN Radio Show. I'm the Mouth from the South, the Paranormal Outlaw, and joining me tonight is Jeff Sterl. What's up, Jeff?
Hello, everybody. Happy, today Texas Independence Day, isn't it?
I believe so.
Let me check the Google Mobile.
The Google Mobile.
The Google Mobile. Texas Independence. It's actually March 2nd. That's when the Battle of the Alamo began, but you know, it ended like, you know, around today. So I guess Happy Alamo Day. If you were for that side, I guess.
Right.
But since we weren't on last week, Happy Independence Day, a week late anyway. Or Texas Independence Day.
Yeah, last Sunday we had an ice storm here and knocked out the power. I was without power from 7:30 that night till 5 in the morning. So it was a very, I looked at my thermostat and it was 38 degrees in here.
Nice.
So I had a fire going. I woke up every hour to stir the fire, and me and Molly were under about 5 blankets here on the couch.
That's awesome.
And my cat passed away. Don't know why. She was perfectly fine the day before, but she crawled underneath the bed and died. And she had been there a while because she rigor mortis had set in. She was kind of stiff when I pulled her out.
Yeah.
So buried her, and Molly and I are going to get a little baby kitten. Just try and wait and find the right one. Because I got all the stuff. I got food, everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, this is the time of year. This is breeding season.
There's no cats. There's really no cats out there right now. The mom talked to a lady that provides cats to Petco
mm-hmm.
for adoption. And she said, come April, there'll be cats everywhere. So, or kittens everywhere. So, don't wait. Molly's kind of depressed. She don't have a buddy here. She's by herself. So,
yeah.
I've been having to try to cheer her up.
Other than that,
I did find out, which I'm going to drive out there probably next weekend, just take a look, but I found where Stagecoach Road, it really is.
I mean, the one that we went to those times wasn't really it?
No, sir.
Well, somebody was alive.
I wonder who.
Wasn't me, that's for sure. I didn't know where it was.
Our fearless leader of that first group we were in.
Yep.
Yeah, I found it. It's actually between Marshall and Karnak, and it's about 4 miles long. And,
mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of videos on it recently of people going out there and doing some investigations. But, so I'm going to go do a scouting on it during the day, drive out there, find it, and then get Dad and Dom and head out there one weekend.
Cool.
So, but yeah, I discovered that this weekend, and yeah, that's pretty much it. Besides all the chaos going on in the world right now, you know, with Mr. Putin.
Doesn't this just remind you of childhood?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I'm back in the 80s.
Right?
And,
I feel like any minute now my boss is going to send out an email saying we need to start practicing duck and cover drills.
Yeah. Put your head between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye.
Hey, who's our guest?
Joe. Whew, I can't speak. Joe Andred.
Okay.
I always get the name wrong. He might be on hold. I'm not.
Yeah, we got somebody on hold here, and I'm going to check to see who that is. So you continue.
Okay. Just a little promotion for everybody out there. On Monday nights, you got the Freaking Awesome Paranormal Show right here on the URN Radio Network from 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time. On Tuesdays is Terrify Radio with myself and to 10 Central Time. On Wednesdays, we have Full Spectrum Radio with Matt and Dennis, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time. On Thursdays, we have Onyx Nights Paranormal Radio from 8 to 10 p.m. with Brian Sons as their host. And Fridays is Paranormal Access Radio from 9 p.m. Central Time to 10:30 Central Time with Chris and Dez. And then rounding off the week on Saturday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time is the Debunker Boys. So that's the lineup 7 days a week right here on the URN Radio Network.
Cool.
And
I still
can also
political talk show.
And you can also find us on Facebook. Go like us on the URN Radio Network Facebook page. This show itself, the URN Radio Show, also has a Facebook page that you can like and be up to date on guests that we have on this show. And also my other show, Terrify Radio, also has a Facebook page. And I believe Freaking Awesome Paranormal Show has one as well. So there's many pages you can like and follow along. You can also find us on Twitter. URN Radio.
We
so
use
those
that?
Are all the huh?
We use Twitter?
Oh, yes. Every time we broadcast and we hit the little promote button,
uh-huh.
It'll send a link to the show on our Twitter account.
Neat. I wasn't aware
yep.
of that. But then again, I have a Twitter, but I don't ever use it, so...
Well, yes, we're on Twitter. If you're one of those that does a lot of tweets and all that wonderful things, you can follow us on Twitter as well. But those are all our endless plugs. I got them out of the way, so I don't have to repeat them. But, yeah, man, it's kind of like being back in the 80s. Putin, who's a former KGB officer and was part of the original Soviet Union and was all pissed off when it all collapsed. And, yeah, it looks like he's trying to rebuild the empire, it seems. And not to go into too much political stuff, but our president doesn't seem to want to it's not that he doesn't want to. He just doesn't have any respect when it comes to Putin. Putin doesn't like Obama, and he's openly said that. And so Obama's little threats are not really doing anything.
Well, to be honest, I think we need to keep our damn nose out of it to begin with.
Well, it's one of those things where it could have been any country. And when you belong to the UN and everything else and international laws that you break by invading another country, you know, you get all the countries involved in that case. It's not just the United States. United States is always the the most outspoken when it comes to the, you know, those kind of issues.
We'll have the majority of troops. That's the thing.
But like I said, when your president has said the same thing to Syria, don't do this or you'll face the sort of the consequences, and then they do it and we don't do anything. And I'm just saying, when you constantly, as a school teacher, you should know this, Jeff, if you constantly tell a student, don't do this, because if you do, this is what's going to happen. And then they do it, and you don't send them to the office. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to keep acting out. And that's what our president has done when it comes to foreign policy, and that's why everybody's pushing the buttons. I'm really waiting for North Korea to go, well, Russia did it, so we're going to invade South Korea now.
Well, I see. The thing is, I mean, we're not the authority over the Russians or the North Koreans. They have their own authority.
I know.
You know, we can tell them all they want. To be honest, I don't think we have a right to get in their business. I mean, to be honest.
Well, the only problem with all that that you've really got to realize is it all comes down to the dollar bill. And when countries get invaded, when you have any country that we have some sort of trade involved with, whether it be oil or whatnot, if there's some kind of turmoil going over there, it affects us over here, and it affects our money and our income as far as the country. And so that's why we have to have our nose in every little thing, because it affects us monetarily. And
yeah,
that's the only reason.
Other than vodka, we don't have anything in Ukraine. Maybe. I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I'm just being realistic.
Well, I'm just saying that's the whole thing. It's all about money, and yeah. So I got my little political spiel out of the way, even though this is a paranormal show. like I said, I understand ghosts a little bit more than I do people, and when it comes to politics and understanding our government and everybody else's government and why they do crap and this, that, and other, I'll take ghosts any day.
Right.
Because they just want to talk. Politicians just want to lie.
This is true. This is very true.
I got a bunch of people laughing the other day at work when they said, you know, we had a primary here in Texas. And, you know, they got the two finalists that are going to run off in November for governor. And somebody goes, I guess they didn't know it, or they slipped their mind. They're like, what's the name of our governor right now? And I said, Dick Perry, and everybody started laughing.
That's my reference to that asshole. Stealing my references.
Oh, Lord. But, yeah, I guess that's it. I've been watching some interesting things, getting back to kind of the paranormal. This is paranormal in itself. It's dealing more with unexplained things in NASA. I started watching a new show that you might want to watch. It's called NASA's Unexplained Files.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of interesting things that I didn't know that went on during space missions that astronauts spotted that NASA couldn't even explain.
Yeah.
So that's a very interesting show. They were going over the North Pole, and they were photographing the Aurora Borealis, and they actually captured some sort of spacecraft that was flying through the Aurora.
Nice.
From outer space. And they can't explain it. They're like, well, I don't think it's a spacecraft, but they couldn't explain what it was either. So pretty interesting things that they talked about, you know.
Right.
They even talked about during the Apollo 10 mission that some kind of object flew by the lunar lander, and
yep.
It caused the lander to malfunction for a little while, and they didn't think they were going to get back to the main ship. And they called it a moon pigeon.
Well, you do know that our government has finally acknowledged the existence of Area 51, right?
Yeah.
After 70 years or so?
Yeah.
That's a real thing. Yeah, we knew that. But the only thing that they're saying about it right now is that it's used in to test and develop new aircraft, which, yeah, it is. But, of course, my question is, what else is it being used for?
Right. Well, under our guest tonight, who's on hold, our guest tonight is Joe Andrade. Joe is a spiritual counselor. He grew up in a strict Roman Catholic family. At age 5, Joe started having night terrors with images of demons that attacked him in his sleep. When he would awake, he would see a white light, and all the demons would burst into flames and vanish. His psychic abilities began to manifest through this period in his life. During his teen years, he strayed away from the church and began studying Satanism, the occult, demonology, and everything metaphysical. He later turned to the Church of Latter-day Saints. He became part of the, well, I can't even say that, Melanchthonic priesthood. Joe was mentored by demonologist Keith Johnson and Keith's wife Sandra Johnson and Keith's brother Carl Johnson. Joe has worked with several teams and individuals in the paranormal, including psychic medium Robin Marie, Paranormal Expeditions of Paranormal Challenge, Chris Nicoletti, and Screaming Paranormal, and with many, many more teams and individuals around the globe. His research in the paranormal has spanned nearly 30 years and is ongoing.
Oh.
And we will bring him on now.
He is already on.
Right. Joe, you there?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, not a problem, man. How was your week?
Eventful.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to make plans nowadays with the way the weather's been the last few months here in the United States.
Oh, I know. I'm in New England, so it's like you get all four seasons in one day, you know. And the thing about it's been really cold. And yesterday we had a spring tease of being like 50 degrees yesterday, and it's been colder and colder. And I just saw something before I went on the phone that we're gonna have another snowstorm coming our way.
Oh,
so
Lord!
Like, here we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy. Yeah, yep. here in Texas, we have a thing that if you want to know what the weather's going to do, just wait 5 minutes because our weather changes that quick.
We've been saying that in New England for years, because I can remember. You know, like if you don't like the weather, just wait a moment.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same. I think everywhere now.
Yeah,
I can't help but being a New Englander and laughing at people down south where like they got close to roads when only 1 inch of snow. You know, and we can't help but laugh, but we know why. You know, well, people, some do, they don't understand, but they don't have the material, they don't have the snow blowers, they don't have the plows, they don't have nothing to clean up that mess up. It's a totally different asphalt that we have up here, so they're not ready for that. You know, so, but it's kind of funny. We go through like a foot of snow or more than a foot of snow every other day, you know. But
exactly.
This weather's been just horrible all around.
Yeah, you know, I moved from Ohio down here to Texas when I was a little boy, and my parents had a snow shovel. I had a sled, and I remember we got about 2 foot, 2.5 foot of snow, and the kids in my neighborhood were like, what is that? And I said, that's a sled. And they're like, I've never seen a sled. And then my dad was out in the driveway shoveling snow off the driveway, and everybody's like, what kind of shovel is that? That's a snow shovel. So,
yeah, we don't see those.
So you were already prepared from coming a while.
Yeah, exactly.
many years later.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So,
hey, and right there, you make so much money. At $20, I'll clean your driveway. You know.
Yeah. But for all of our listeners out there, I read a little bit of your background. Of course, I've already interviewed you before, but for people that don't know a lot about you, give them a little background on you and how you kind of got into the paranormal.
Okay. Well, we can start from the beginning. How long is the show, by the way? Is it an hour or is it two?
Two.
Is it two? Okay. I wasn't too sure. All right. Start from the beginning. I was born in 1970, like you said earlier. I was born in a strict Catholic home, Roman Catholic. I'm a Portuguese background, so it's very, very strict. but early ages of 4 or 5 years old, I started getting night terrors, and I used to sweat right through my pajamas, to the bed sheets, the blankets, straight through the mattresses. And I was thrown off of my bed. And these night terrors consisted of being attacked by demonics. And I would see visions of hell. I would smell rotting corpses, which I didn't know what rotting corpses smelled like, you know, until much later in life, you know. I've seen these demons are different kinds of demons, you know, winged, multi-legged, humanoid, demon dogs, like flesh ripping off the bones. I've seen humans being tortured, smell the brimstone, sulfur. You know, it was really traumatic in that time of life. I still get, once in a while, I still get those dreams. But for me, it's almost prophetic, you know, and I could tell what's going to happen in my life. I have very vivid dreams. I can tell you I've slept and dreamt always in color, and I can always remember my dreams. And those are most traumatic because it's just what I saw no one should ever see. You know, it's from a child's point of view, I didn't understand it until I was much older what I saw. And, you know, people are being tortured, you know, again, their throats cut out, and their entrails being pulled out, hung upside down like deer. You know, this is what I envisioned when I was a child. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't watch horror movies until I was much older. You know, I watched cartoons. You know, I was born in the 70s, so I was watching, you know, Bama Splits, and I was watching Smurfs, I was watching whatever was on TV.
Right.
It was just cartoons. You know, I would watch like a Muppet Show. I watched Lawrence Walk for crying out loud with my grandparents. You know, I wouldn't know this type of stuff. Anything that's mentioned in anything about hell when I was born in a Roman Catholic church, your family, they didn't really talk about demons. They really talked about Satan, but not like Satan wasn't like a big focus. You know, it was being a good person, loving one each other, the same and equally, you know, going to church every Sunday. I went to Catholic school, you know, and it was a really big thing in my life. But it wasn't like Satan was a major thing. Until when I got into the paranormal, I was 11 years old. And it was the first experience of one of my family members passing away. And that was my grandfather. And that was in 1981. And we had a service, and we had this funeral, and we can see at the wake, I looked at my grandfather, and it looked like he was breathing. I didn't know, I couldn't understand why is he breathing. I know he died. I kept asking family members, why is he breathing? They said, he's not breathing, but that's what I would see. Now, I don't know if I was matrixing it, so I'm so used to seeing him breathing, I don't know. That's what I'm saying now. You know, back then I didn't understand what I was saying. So we had a reception at home after we buried him. We had about 30 people over the home. And I heard my name being called. And it's a nickname my parents, my family, and my family and friends call me named Zing, which means like Joe Jr. in Portuguese. So I'm hearing my name, and I'm like, who's calling me? So I asked my family that was near me. I said, was it you calling me? He said, no, it wasn't me. I didn't say anything. Okay. It's kind of loud. You know, people are talking. People are eating. My father and my uncles were playing cards. You know, I can distinctly see someone calling my name from behind me. But I was sitting there on a couch, and one more time I heard it again. I'm like, okay, I turned around. I was coming from my grandparents' bedroom. Now, my grandfather died of a stomach cancer. It was all in his stomach, and it was also in his intestines. Also, in the last days, he suffered from gout, and his feet were swelled up as the size of basketballs. And he would have a cane. He would walk around with him. Now, his cane was always perched against the wall, against the closet door of their bedroom. So I'm hearing the name. I'm hearing my name being called, and I'm walking toward the bedroom. I see my grandfather's cane shake, rattle, rise up about 6 feet up against the closet door and fall. Again, I heard my name being called while something or someone walking right through me. And it was so cold. I swear, I think I saw my breath come out of my mouth. It was just cold. But it lasted seconds. And while it's passing through me, I heard my name being called once more. Like it resonated through me. And that was my first paranormal experience I ever experienced, and that's why it really got me into the paranormal. There's got to be something more in life, you know. Mm-hmm. And that from there it started, you know. And as I mentioned earlier, as I got older and my teenage years, you know, with teenage angst, you know, I'm trying to search myself. I left the church. I researched the cults. I researched anything paranormal. I watch the shows. I try to watch TV. Watch TV and watch the shows like That's Incredible. I used to watch In Search Of. I used to watch Unsolved Mysteries. And then, in the 90s, 80s and 90s, you know, I try to read as much as I possibly can. That's without internet. You know, I try to go to a library. My library was really short and stuff like that. You know, I can find anything about Isaac Asimov and, you know, science fiction stuff, but paranormal is very hard to find. But I found one book, and that caught me, and that was the book called The Demonologist, Dictionary Tales of Ed and Lorraine Warren. And that really got me, and that was like, it really rang and sung to me, you know, and that really put me into where I really wanted to be, the understanding of demonology and the paranormal. And that's
right.
In a nutshell.
Right. And it seems now that with media, television, and movies, it seems like that more of the evil side of the paranormal is being, you know, talked about and whatnot. So, you know, in a way, with all that, it seems to either A, cause more people to dabble in things they shouldn't and you know, have these horrific inhuman beings in their home, or B, now I can't even think of what B was. but my point being, you know, for entertainment purposes, I realize with shows and with movies and whatnot, they're all about the dollar bill and making money. So they focus on what scares you, and, you know, a lot of the times they don't really focus on spirits that possibly need help crossing over, you know, or a spirit that's trying to get a message to a loved one. It's all about, you know, the malevolent type spirits when you watch television and movies nowadays.
The movie Ghost did.
Yeah, that's true.
That's very true.
But But that's not recent. You know, I remember one of my favorite shows when Michael Landon was still alive was, oh, God, what was it? Highway to Heaven?
Oh,
was that it?
Yeah. Wow,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep,
it would
happen. That show's my age. But, yeah, I mean, in today's paranormal field, you got paranormal teams that they jump the gun a lot of the times. They tell a client, oh, you got a demon in your house, you know, and they don't even know for sure. They just make that assumption because they have no knowledge. They haven't done their research. They're not experienced, but they'll tell a client, oh, you got a demon in your house. We can't help you.
Well, the thing about that is that you don't see that many shows that do that anymore. Because
yeah.
A lot of the shows, they just do legend tripping. Because they want to go into the liability. Go into someone's home and say ghost or say demon. You know? You can get some paranormal TV shows that glorify it. You know, it's because it's all dramatizations. You know? They can pull that off because there's a little bit more money. They can show special effects, CGI, which have you, to increase the fear factor, you know. But you don't see teams going to someone's home and doing that. You'll see someone going to Waverly Hills, or you'll see someone doing Lizzie Borden's, or you do someone doing et cetera, all these legend trips. It's funny, but it's much safer. You know, because they say they already have, the people already claimed it has been paranormal.
Yeah.
You know, so they can't say, they can't debunk it. They won't debunk it. You know why? Because that property is making money. So they can't, for myself, I do cleansings in homes. If I go legend trip, am I going to clean that place? No. They don't want it cleaned. They don't want to cleanse. They don't want the people to cross over. And I feel pity for the real spirits and real ghosts that can't cross over just because of that, you know. But the thing is, it's just they won't say this. It'll knock everything out. It'll knock everything out. They've received from other people and other donations and all that. Now it's not haunted anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with someone's home, you know, that's what bothers me about TV shows is that people, as you know, there are so many paranormal teams out there and throughout the whole world, not mind the United States. I think the United States has a lot of sites have a lot of paranormal teams. But when they watch TV and they watch certain shows, they think they can do the same thing they can, you know, and they have the money, they can buy the equipment, you know, they can afford it. A lot of and some mom and pop teams that can't afford it, they just go in with a recorder and a camera, you know, and a notepad, you know, and do as much as they possibly can to help someone. But there's a team that just take it and go off, play it, oh, it's a demon, they walk right in, or they go in, or it's definitely a ghost, you know. I say, you can't see that. You can't see that. You know, you're making the situation even worse for them. You know, that's why, you know, this teams up that I really respect out there that actually find the natural cause for what's going on first before you claim paranormal. You know, I don't go in. If I go in someone's home, they think I'm going to cleanse the house. I'm like, I want to find out natural causes for what's going on in this home first before anything. You know, if it also makes them feel better after I'm done, that's perfectly fine. But, you know, I want them to know what is actually going on. Like, if I can, I have one, I had one client that her and his son was having visions of a demon coming from the ceiling. And the son was like 5, 6 years old. His eyes coming down the ceiling, telling him to go on the roof and jump. And I went and did a preliminary investigation, you know, just EMF readings, et cetera. Now, went to one room, and there's the boy's bed, and next to it is a humidifier. So the humidifier is off. And I turned on the humidifier, see how much EMF was calling. It was out of the scale. I mean, it was gone off my on my reader. I'm like, okay, what is going on? So I turned it off and slowly went away on my reader. I turned it back on. Boom. Now, this thing is right next to his head. So I asked the mother, did he sleep with this on? She goes, yes. I'm like, how long has he been having this in his house, in his room? Since he was born. High EMF. Since he was born, having hallucinations. And that was the natural cause of what he would see. The prolonged exposure. So I found that natural cause. And to this day, nothing's haven't happened with him. And I try to contact him as much as I can, show an update, see if everything's going well. I last time I talked to her was a year ago, and everything's perfectly fine. So it's not everything all demon. You know, it has to be some logical causes, what the people are seeing, hallucinations, you know, even a mental illness, you know, meditations. Mold may cause the hallucinations, make you feel uneasy, feeling the oppressiveness. You know, you're in a house that's over 100 years old, you know, you generally think, you know, the wiring, it could be horsehair plaster in the house. You know, it's a cheap material that can mold very easily, you know. So, and that can cause hallucinations, just breathing that in. You won't see it, but you can just be with it. And if it's a black mold is highly toxic and deadly. Enough of that breathing it in, you can die from it. And the first symptoms are hallucinations.
Yeah.
Same thing. So it's and so people gotta think there's a natural cause for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no, let me say that demons don't exist because I've seen them myself. You know, with my own personal experiences. You know, I've seen a doll walk by itself without no animation. You know what Teddy Ruxpin is, right, folks?
Yeah.
A Teddy Ruxpin has no batteries. The wire has been pulled out. No tape recorder inside it. It doesn't move. The Teddy Ruxpin does not move. The only thing it can move is his eyes and its mouth. This thing walked and fell and growled in front of me. Now, that, to me, that's a possession of a toy. That's demonic. Right? I've seen demonics. I've seen an old woman, 80 years old, probably weighing like 70 pounds soaking wet, pick up an oak water bed and flip it. And, you know, and she was possessed. Now, I've seen evil. You know, I've seen all categories of evil, even if it's possession or even medically induced in, demonics. You know, even more like if it's psychotic, you know, any type of psychosis, like schizophrenia. You know, I had a case that a woman had said that he had fornication with a demon. I swear to God.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord is my witness, saying that she had fornication with a demon. And I'm like, okay, the succubus. All right, so I'm trying to figure out what's going on in the home. There was paranormal activity. There was actually some stuff being thrown at us. Okay, what is the deal? So I researched more, and her daughter played with a Ouija board. Okay, so this thing got brought in. So we tried to get more information on it, about her background, and there was, she was a schizophrenic, and the daughter was too. I had a lot of medications to see that. But the Ouija board didn't help much. I mean, practicing a little bit of black magic increased and intensified the home. So I cleansed the house on an Easter Sunday. Cleansed the house. I think we started at 7 o'clock at night and left there on 3 in the morning. I had some good evidence, some EVPs, et cetera. Cleansed it. The day after, I found out the daughter went downstairs in the cellar and opened up her Ouija board and started talking with it again. Well, and we told her not to play with it, leave it alone, don't be paying attention to it, see if it all go away. Not giving mine to any attention. Well, her attention was to make her mother going crazy, pretty much. So that was a dead deal. I couldn't, there are clients out there that don't do anything and make things even worse for them, just to be popular. You know, just to be on a show, just to write a book. And I've gotten those. You know, this is not a joke. Now, people think it's a hobby. It is, because a lot of people have to do their out of pocket, you know, but it's a profession. It really comes down to it. You have to be very, you know, professional in someone's home. You know, I take things seriously. And some clients don't take it seriously. They think they can make money off of it. It's a 1%, it's like a 1% shot they can. And that's with any paranormal group that's out there. It's a 1% shot. So everything's like can be on shows, and that's what's main, what's about. It's not what's about. What's about is the clients, to help them, what they need. You know, not for the self-glorification, the ego. You know, which is what's the shame of it all. It is. It's just all territorial, and it's all for the money, and that's what it shouldn't be about. It's about research. About research and what really is going out there, and the reason why. Paranormal studies are not going to be anything scientifically valid just because of that. Because no one's, you know, put anything together. No one puts their heads together and find out the resolution of what is going on. It's not going to happen just because of ego.
Oh, definitely. And like you mentioned earlier about going in the home and doing some readings with the equipment and whatnot, Jeff brought a residential case to my attention, and we went up there, and the home was about 100 years old, and we turned our K2 meters on, and those things were pegged out throughout the home. We couldn't use any kind of EMF reader in the house because of the high EMF that was coming off these old wiring. So it kind of crippled us when it came to, you know, the amount of equipment that we could use, because the home was just, it was just a, you know, it was bad,
yeah.
EMF-wise. And I think, and it was an older lady, and she was on a lot of medications, too. Now, granted, we caught some EVPs there. You know, we had a few things go on. But the extreme that some of her stories were, I'm thinking a lot of it had to do with, you know, the EMF in the house.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, definitely. Poor insulation, wiring is old. Oh, yeah. So you get the whole house with a fur cage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, whole house with a fur cage. Yep. Plus you have this, you know, you have the mental issues, mental illness. And chances that increases it tenfold.
Pardon me.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, and that's what, you know, and there's times, especially if you're an experienced investigator, when you walk in a place, you especially with your body is your best tool. I don't care how much equipment you have, you know, high dollar equipment.
Oh, I agree.
You have,
I agree 100%. I agree 110% on that.
Yeah. Because your gut and your body is going to tell you something. And, you know, there's certain times when I'm going home and walk in that place, and I'm like, the energy just hits me, and I'm like, whoa, yeah, they got something going on here. You know?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know, the ones, like you said earlier, you know, you walk in, you really don't feel anything, and then, you know, they're giving you these outrageous stories, and that's where you got to kind of, do your research and check out the home and see if there's something causing it. But, yeah, there are times where I walk in and I'm like, oh, yeah, they got something here, all right. Wow.
Yep. Oh, it hits you straight. For me, it hits you right in the head first. Then it goes everywhere else. I had one home that I just put my foot on the sidewalk and I could feel it. And I'm like, okay, what is the issue with this freaking house? I'm like, I'm walking toward it, and trying to walk up the stairs. I'm like, oh, I'm going to pass out. I had to go back in the car. And some divine intervention happened because the landlord didn't want us to get in. But he knew what was going on. But we didn't go in. It was something it hit me hard. And I don't know what it was, the energy in the house. Was it paranormal? Was it just human psyche? Or was it a natural cause? I don't know. But something right in the sidewalk hit me. I'm like, wow. Blew me away. Not too many cases that happened to me before, but that one just hit me out of nowhere. Not unexpecting it.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely go with your gut. Barry, tell you something, it's something going on. That's for sure.
Yeah, we did that when we went to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital in Tennessee. You know, we drove 14 hours from Texas over where the hospital was. You know, we rented the place out for the weekend, and we got there Saturday morning after driving all night, and man, I stepped 2 feet in that place, and it just wham, you know, just energy. I was like, whoa, this place is haunted. And it wasn't 15 minutes after we got there, you know, it was 11 o'clock in the morning, and we were walking down the hallway, and a door slammed shut and locked itself from the inside.
Oh.
And then a little bit later, it unlocked, and we looked in there, and there was nobody in there. It did it on itself. Yeah.
Right. Wow.
So.
Gotta love when that happens.
Oh yeah, I especially love that when you drive 14 hours and you pay money, you're just like, there better be something happens, you know.
Yeah, you're bummed out. Nothing happens. Like, what the hell is that over here for? You know, but it's good when something happens. That's like, yeah, cut something. That's a great gratifying feeling. You know, like, yeah. Get a shot at me, but hey, I caught something. You know, some validation. I love when that happens. I was at a hotel near the Canadian border, in New Hampshire, and it was just close for me and a couple of other groups, and it was the first time ever it was been investigated. And right before the ownership changed hands, the new owners won't have anyone doing any investigation whatsoever. But we had a chance to do something. We did, and my wife was a part of my team. She was the case manager. It was me and my wife, and some other teams from New Hampshire, Eclipse Paranormal, Central New Hampshire Paranormal. So we're there. And my wife, oh, she's definitely afraid of when doors close. That she hates that. Everything else she can handle, but when door closes, forget it. She's telling me, oh, I hope the doors are going to be closed. Like, don't put it out there because it's going to happen because it can hear you. And they say, yeah, I'm going to play with her. She goes, oh, don't say that. I'm like, well, you're saying it, bringing it out there. So we spent the whole night. We had our investigation. We had EVPs. We had a lot of things happening big time. So we have the whole hotel to ourselves. There's no one else there, just the owners and the help. So we go to bed. We wake up in the morning, get our luggage to go home, trek all the way down to Massachusetts. So there's huge, huge doors, and they're held magnetically by these big clamps. And you have to pull really hard off of them to shut. And she was walking by, and she goes, oh, you see, nothing happened. You know, you said the doors were closed. If I said something, like, well, we still haven't left the building. As soon as I said that, the door just closed right behind her. And she went out, and she held me. I'm like, told you. just to say goodbye. Hello, I'm still here, and I heard you. You know?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you know, and I tell a lot of my friends in the paranormal field, some of them are a little bit newer in the field than others, and they have that, they're on a team, and they have the thing where they're skeptical, you know, but at the same time, they know that there's, you know, some sort of something going on in the spirit world. It's not for sure because they've never had any personal experiences. They've never seen anything, and they've been on investigations, and people on their team have had experiences, but they haven't themselves. And they'll say to me, you know, man, I wish something would happen to me. And I always tell them, I said, dude, don't wish that, because when it happens, it's going to scare the hell out of you, because spirits sense that. They sense that, and they're going to use it, and they're going to exploit it. And I'll be damned every time they come back and they go, dude, I about shit my pants when this happened. And I was like, I told you, dude.
One of my team members, my technician, he's an atheist. And a big skeptic. And we had an investigation in the USS Salem in Massachusetts. It's located in Quincy, Mass. It's highly haunted. You can look up and Google it all in the history, because I don't go through another an hour of history in USS Salem. But, you know, he wasn't too impressed. We have a lot of people there, other teams. So we had a paranormal event and that on the ship. And nighttime was a total lockdown, so we had the whole ship to ourselves and doing investigations. So Eric is downstairs, and I think he was near by the – I want to say he was near the lower decks. And he's filming, and he's with the other founder of my team. And he said, Paul, there's something on my neck. Something just grabbed my neck. And Paul's like, what? And he turned around, put the flashlight on, and there's a big red mark on his neck.
Ouch.
Big, like a burn mark. And then when Paul saw it, Paul and Eric saw a shadow person run across the hall. And they got in touch with me on the walkie-talkie. So I came up, I think I was in the furnace, the boiler room, and I went up to where they were to find out what's going on, and his neck was still glowing red. And I'm like, so you still don't believe? I said, I don't know what's going on. He was panicking. He was hyperventilating. And we took him upstairs, set him down, get some fresh air. But then he was all pumped up the rest of the night. He wanted to catch more. I'm like, you sure? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. You know, but it was his first experience with something. He became a believer after that.
Yeah, you know, and myself included, and Jeff has experiences too. You know, you can go on many, many investigations, and you know, nothing. You take all the precautions. You pray and you do everything you're supposed to, and get your mind in the right place, but. There's always a time, and it's even happened to me, and I've been on many investigations. You get caught off guard, and I remember this one house, Hill House Manor, that we were in, and there's a lot of spirits in there, and there's a demon in there too, and of course the owner doesn't acknowledge it exists, says it's just a malevolent spirit. But people, teams have gone in there and used Ouija boards and all kinds of things.
God.
And opened up a doorway, and this thing's there now. And I remember we were sitting in a room, and my fellow investigator was facing me, and he was sitting on a step, and the shadow formed behind him, and everybody at home base saw it on the DVR. And at the same time, I felt like my stomach was being ringed out, and I always get that feeling when it's something pretty evil. You know, when it's malevolent or evil, that's my stomach just, I feel like I'm going to throw up.
Yep.
And,
that's no pressure.
Fear just,
yep.
Yeah, fear just took over me, and I was like, dude, I got to get out of here, and I had to go outside and shake it off. And I remember Jeff did the same thing when we went out to the cemetery where there's a malevolent spirit out there that got brought forth from a satanic cult. And Jeff's always he's our spiritualist. He'll do the prayer, lead us in prayer before and after investigation, and he's always got his Bible. But we just on a whim driving back from another investigation, we decided to stop by there for a minute. And I've never seen fear in Jeff's eyes, but he got caught off guard because this thing come out of the woods in a shadow form. And Jeff got the shit scared out of him, too. So just because you've been doing investigations for a while, there's always a time where you can get caught off guard, you know, when you're doing these things.
Well, I tell everybody, rest up, because I was freaking tired that night. It was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. And it was a double whammy because you already did an investigation. You go for another one. You know, you're already drained as it is.
Yep.
You know, yep. And you're not, and had no energy whatsoever, you know, physically, spiritually. So your guard was down naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So you just opened yourself up big time. So you became a beacon. You know, so it's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's fresh. I want him. You know, so
that's
definitely, that's one big no-no. I just tell people, like, if you're doing an investigation, do just one.
Yeah.
You know, and do one is enough. You know, one is enough. No.
We come back from the investigation, and one of the guys on the team, he's psychic, and he just wanted to stop by the cemetery to see what he could pick up. And, of course, Jeff and I weren't driving. We were riding, so we just decided to stop by there real quick. And now I'm talking, it wasn't 5 minutes of getting out of the vehicle that just happened. So we weren't there very long.
Nope.
You know? But yeah, man, and what some of these younger teams don't realize is, depending on what you're dealing with, if you're dealing with, and it doesn't necessarily have to be demonic. It can be just a nasty ass union spirit that doesn't like anybody involved in, you know, the case. But these things, as soon as the client calls you, and that's another indication too. You know, depending on what kind of case you got, you can find out pretty quick, because once you get called from that client, then your team, yourself included, things start going haywire in your own personal lives, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it just becomes a mess, and you're like, I know that firsthand.
I know that firsthand. Trust me, it's dealing with the things I do, and I haven't investigated in a while. I think the last time I investigated was, I think, in February in someone's home. But ever since that investigation, it's like been like one thing after another. The last investigation I did was in October. That's right, it was in October. But everything since after that has been going downhill for me. In the personal wise, you know, like right there, like I was working a new job, was doing great, and I was helping my 90-day review. They fired me, and I'm like, what was my performance? Was this and that? And no, it wasn't that. It was just you weren't fit for the job. I'm like, okay, this is new news to me, and they already had my check. I'm like, you already planned this already since last week. You didn't tell me. I can find another job. No, and that was it. I did find a job. So, okay. So, this happened in January of this year. I'm like, okay, fine. All right, I guess my taxes are coming in. I get some money put away, blah, blah. Yep, that was taken away from the IRS. So, all my money was gone from my tax refund. So, that was another blow. And I'm like, okay. You know, this is enough. It's enough. Now I'm trying to look for work. Nothing. Can't find nothing. I still can't find nothing. Trying to find a 9-to-5. Nothing. I'm like, okay, this is because of what's going on in my life. This is what it's been going on because of what I do. I'm getting pissed. You know, naturally, you know, stress comes to play. You know, so I file unemployment. I've been waiting for unemployment for a couple of months now. I've got nothing back. And I try to communicate with someone in unemployment in mass. Can't get a hold of nobody because everything's automated. So I'm like, this is going to suck. So I'm doing online, trying to do that. One thing after another. Now, I don't know if you're on my Facebook or all that, but like, I've been like stressed for a lot. and I've come to find out a lot of things happening in my life that I don't want to hear. A lot of teams out there that newer teams that think they know better and then try to help them. And they think it's negative, which I tell them. You know, I try to be positive with them and they'll be negative about me. And they blast me. Like, I won't find out. You know, that's okay. That's fine. So, like, I don't mind it anymore. I was fed up the other day. I'm like, oh, I'm done. I'm like, okay. You got to calm down. You got to relax. Got to meditate. There's a reason why this is happening. There's something better on the horizon. You know what? There will be. You know, I'm writing two books right now. And I got the writer's block. You got to love that. But I'm writing two books about the paranormal. One's more fact-based. The other one's more fictional. But it's going to be interesting leads. But you guys do one of the things that what we do out there, if you're listening, you know, this is a serious, this is not a joke. Things do happen in your life when you tend to dabble in the paranormal, you know. Because I'm a demonologist, you know, that's even coming to play. I'm a researcher, I'm a paranormal investigator. You know, that my speciality is the demonology, you know. But, you know, when you get into someone's home or get into someone's business or religion trip, be wary of where you're going into. You know, you never know what you are going to. I'm more afraid of real people than I do of ghosts, you know. You sure ghosts can, you know, probably trip you down a stairwell, but, you know, but you have, at least, you know, I know psychologically, you know, people are imbalanced, you know, and try to protect yourself and safety-wise and do investigation, do a preliminary interviews with your clients beforehand, find out historically their home and the place of business. Find some background on your people you take you're taking in as a client. You know, so, you know, be wary, you guys out there, doing any type of criminal investigations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know,
That's pretty much in a nutshell. Just be careful what you do out there. Things you can bring stuff home. You know, more ways than one.
Yeah. Exactly, and, you know, like you said, I dealt with a case, and I got fired from my job as well, and I was unemployed for 8 months, you know.
Yep.
Finally got my unemployment, but, man, it was tough, and, you know, most of that time after I got fired, I was still dealing with this case, so, because it was
yep.
an ongoing thing, but, yeah, it can be costly, and that's what that people don't see when they watch television. They're like, oh, I want to be, you know, on a paranormal team, blah, 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 blah. They hear the other side of the story, you know. I love paranormal investigation, and I hope everybody does it, but you got to understand what you're getting yourself into as well.
Oh, yeah. Hey, get ready for 12 hours of evidence review.
Yeah.
You get home from it. You're coming home from an investigation. You're wired. You're like, okay, I'm going to listen to evidence. Bad idea. I don't care who you are. But everybody's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go home and listen to stuff. No, don't. Just try to wind yourself on some TV and try to sleep. Get some energy. Wake up in the morning or an afternoon the next day. Get some to eat and do the evidence then if you can. But, yeah, don't do it right after you're doing an investigation because you're already drained. You don't need that.
Yeah, we learned that the hard way on I can't even remember which investigation it was, but it was a long road trip back home, and you know, we were young and dumb, and like, oh, I'm gonna get my EVP recorder out and start reviewing, you know. Well, that lasted maybe 20 minutes before I fell asleep.
I got to tell you, we did an investigation, and we drove to a nearest Dunkin' Donuts to get some coffee, you know, to get the drive back. And everybody's pulling out the laptops, going through the evidence review. I'm like, you serious? Really? I'm trying to relax. Oh, Joe, listen to this. Joe, come over here. Come on. No. Just let me drink my coffee. Let me relax. No, but Joe, no. Because I have to drive. No way. Because if I get into it, I'm going to be awake. And I want to be awake. Well, I don't want to be awake that way. You know? Because I'll be too wired for sound. You know? Like, oh. I understand the fortitude. I understand the charisma, the ospa, but oh no!
I usually can't. I have to, because usually one or two vehicles going, and in my vehicle, my dad's driving, and so I'm in the passenger seat and I'm drinking Monsters to try to stay awake because I got to keep my dad awake. But Jeff and the rest of the crew, they get back there, and some of them will talk. Dom, she gets in there, and she's out with it before we even pull out of the parking lot. And there'll be some talking, you know, goofing off, and then all of a sudden it just gets silent. I look back, and all them bastards are asleep.
Hell yeah. Get tired. Get sleep.
You know, when that happens, you hook up your laptop or your recorder up to your speakers in your car and crank it. All they hear is white noise. That'll wake them up.
That will wake me up. I've done that. I will still be asleep. Matter of fact, that'll actually keep me asleep.
You always talk about, well, I got to get my beauty sleep. And I'm like, you're already ugly, so I don't think sleep's going to help.
No, it's not working.
Uh-oh. It's not working.
I'm not the paranormal sex symbol for no reason.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
I told you, Jeff. You present me. You got to present me 10 pieces of separate evidence from 10 different locations where a spirit indefinitely claims your agrees with your claims that you're the paranormal sex symbol. Now, one of the pieces of evidence I brought to you.
That has to be a class A though.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
It has to be very audible. I have to hear it.
I mean, he just flat out denied it, so you faked it.
Yeah, something just won't do. I want to read the sentence.
Well, the sad part is, though, and he doesn't ever say this out loud, but one of the pieces that he presented was a voice coming through the ghost box saying yes, but it was a man's voice.
Doesn't matter.
If a male spirit thinks he's a sex symbol, then all right, then.
Who knows style better than gay dudes?
Wow.
Jeff's going to get hate mail now.
So that's my
I'll probably love letters. You never know.
Very true.
Kevin's just jealous.
You know, now, since we're kind of on the lighter side now, what's one of the more funny stories that's happened when you and your team have been on investigation? What's something that's funny that's happened during investigation?
Oh, God. The thing about me, when we have the time of seriousness, and we have a time to have fun, you know, because I highly encourage people to have a sense of humor when they're doing investigations. You know, just have fun with it. You know, there's a serious side and there's a lighter side. Because if you're always serious, it's going to eat you up, seriously. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I try to be funny with people. You know, we have, you know how, you know, you have to take pictures, right? And you have flash. People have to say, flash, if someone's recording. So
mm-hmm.
What I started doing was people said flash, I would say, ah, because of Flash Gordon. Flash, ah, stop it, Joe, we're doing EVP. Well, I'm sorry, that was me.
Nice.
But I can't help it. They flash, ah, it became a signature for us. you know. But yeah, we have a lot of stuff. I've gone through cemeteries. We went one. Mercy Brown. She, if you want to look up and Google it, guys. She's a vampire that lived in Massachusetts. And she's buried in Exeter, Rhode Island. The story mm-hmm. behind her is she died of tuberculosis. It's pretty much what it was. The tuberculosis epidemic. And not too many people knew what was going on, and people claimed it was vampirism. Well, this girl, Mercy Brown, passed away, buried her, and younger brother and sister had the same symptoms that she had, and the parents and the brother and sister used to see her coming home after she passed away. So the father decided that she's definitely a vampire. So they brought the whole family to the burial ground, unburied her, took her out, exhumed her body, and there was six months between her passing and they exhumed her, and she looked fresh, blood coming out of her mouth. She looked like she was just freshly buried. So the father cut her heart out, burned it, turned to ash and fed it to the family, consumed it, and reburied it. Of course, that just increases what the tuberculosis disease did, and they killed the whole family, pretty much. But if that was she was a vampire. So we want to investigate the story about Mercy Brown, very famous vampire, and people are doing EVPs, and my team's out there. I'm walking by. Now, I'm telling you right now, food before you do investigations. Taco Bell, yeah, no, bad idea. So doing the EVPs, and I'm walking by. That's me. I mean, releasing gas in the middle of the EVP sessions. So yeah, that's contamination in both ways.
Yeah, I'm going to rag on Jeff in just a moment because a lot of the funny stuff that happens involves him or I usually. And, you know, Jeff, that still reminds me. I need to get that YouTube video of you and I investigating that jail in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Because there's no paranormal experiences going on during the video, so, you know, it's no evidence there. But it's probably one of the funniest paranormal videos out there because of the questions and the things that we were saying. It was just hilarious. And, but Jeff and I and one other investigator were up in the attic at the Allen House, and we were sitting in the corner. It's one of them grandfather attics where you can just walk around. It's not like a typical attic. It's almost like it's a different, you know, its own floor. And we were on the third floor. We were sitting on some couches, and it started off him and the other investigator were sitting on the couch, and I was sitting across from them on a chair, so I couldn't see part of the attic they were seeing. And they kept seeing this red light appearing. And they're like, damn, what is that damn red light that keeps moving around over there in the back of the attic? And I was like, I want to see. And I'd stand up, and they go, no, sit down. That's our red light. So that's how it started. We started joking around, you know. And Jeff, he goes, you just hear it, and I got it on EVP. You hear him go, hey, guys, I'm sorry, my bad. And then he blows gas. Loud-ass fart, and we're like, dude, not up here in the attic. There ain't no damn windows up here, you know. There's no ventilation. And I was holding the camera, and I was laughing so hard that I ended up farting. And then we got a Class B EVP from a spirit going, ew.
Yeah, that's classic. That's awesome. Oh, no.
That's fun.
Yeah. So, you know, and a lot of people don't get to see that side as well when it comes to television. You know, because there's so much seriousness And we're probably when we're laid back in ourselves and not like some tight asses walking in there, you know. I mean, yeah, there's a part of you that has to be professional and courteous to your clients, but at the same time, if you bring your own personality into it, and you get a lot more results, because we get more spirits talking on EVP when we're just cutting up or talking amongst ourselves, and we're not really trying to talk to them. They jump in. Yeah.
Actually, we talked about this in the last show on Terrify Radio. We actually talked about that.
Just
talking about regular people, you know, and just make natural conversation. You'd be surprised what comes out. Very, very surprised. You know, just coming into you. How did you die? What year were you born? Blah, blah, blah. You know, the same plain type of thing. Just I say, hey, how you doing? What happened? You know, it's like, just got a conversation. You'd be surprised, actually, will come through. Pause in a little bit so they can answer, you know, but just even try to make them laugh. Because we listen to a laughter on EVP. Not a maniacal laugh, but have a normal laugh, you know.
I tried to do that one time. We went to a place in Henderson, Texas, and I was doing an isolation EVP. And my goal was to actually try to get a spirit to say, what the fuck? That's the question I asked. And I'm trying to say how I said something like, I want to ask the spirits here a question here. Have any of you ever been in love with a midget weighing 39 pounds? We didn't get a response on that, but I have a feeling I was getting some weird ass looks.
No, yeah. It'd be awesome. It'd be awesome. You have to actually hear a rim shot. But that'd be awesome, you'd think.
Nice.
Yeah, I've always said, you know, jokingly, the paranormal field continues, and you know, the older folks, a lot of us, numerous years down the road, hopefully, we pass away. And I hate it for the new paranormal investigators when there's a bunch of paranormal investigators that are passed away, because we'll know what buttons to push.
Oh yeah. I know. I definitely know who I'm going to haunt.
I'm going to haunt.
I'm just waiting for someone particular saying, "Come at me, bro. Come on, come at me. I'll kick them in the nuts." What do you guys? What a guy. That's my goal. If I die before he does, I'll kick him straight in the nuts.
I'm gonna haunt Cindy Crawford's shower.
Well, do it now because she still looks good.
She still looks good now, so in 30
years. I'm saying, I like, do it now. You never know how mold's gonna be done to her belly button.
She is definitely, she can afford the plastic surgery. She'll still look the same now as she does at 80.
Well, we can hope. We can hope. Yeah, I used to think Goldie Hawn was hot. I can't look at her anymore.
I would say, even if Cindy Crawford ends up getting like a real uggo, I would still haunt her shower just to say I did.
Oh, man. That's like the other side of paranormal. We're going to go into that. That's a totally different show, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a dark side of paranormal. My hands are possessed. I can't put down my cheetahs on. I keep on masturbating.
Now, if you want to watch your show, I just watched this movie. I heard about it, so I went and rented it from Redbox. It's got Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill in it, and it's called This Is the End. Yeah, I watched that. Oh my god, that's such a funny movie, and it's about the inner world.
Awesome. They play themselves. It's hilarious.
Yes. Jim, if you've not watched that movie, you need to go watch it.
I haven't seen it.
You have
yeah,
to.
You,
that's a definitely
yeah.
a must see.
I don't think I've even heard of it just now.
You need to watch it because it's about the apocalypse, the end of the world, Judgment Day, and it's a comical take on that whole situation. And Jonah Hill actually gets possessed. So
oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah, but speaking of kind of a paranormal show that it's not really a paranormal show, but it kind of deals with the paranormal. I got it on DVR for tonight, but it premiered tonight. The show on ABC, Resurrection.
I DVR'd it myself. I had a DVR of Walking Dead too. But yeah, Resurrection yes. looks incredible.
I've never heard of that either.
It's about people. All I know, because they don't show too much in the previews since tonight was the first episode, but basically the premise is that people that have passed away all of a sudden come back to life and show up back in people's lives that, you know, several years
and went,
later.
And they went missing for many, many years, and you come back as their selves when the last time they saw them.
Yeah.
Didn't they make a
about that called Night of the Living Dead?
I could have sworn that was the same premise.
No.
That's like, it actually kind of reminds me a lot of the Philadelphia Experiment that came out
yeah.
in the 80s.
Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, yeah. That's going to be an interesting show. I can't wait to see that. There's a lot
yeah.
of supernatural shows that are coming out. Like the new one that's coming up tomorrow, actually premieres tomorrow. Then it'll be on a regular day on Sundays. It's called Believe, and it's about this girl
yeah.
has supernatural powers, and there's like a bunch of people that are looking after her, and I guess they're like bodyguards or something to make sure that no one will take her away to pretty much rule the world. It kind of reminds me of Firestarter. But she's like, it's all like all types of telekinesis, paratechnesis. There's a lot of stuff she can control. Just a mere thought.
Vivid Entertainment offered me a contract to do some of their movies, and I turned it down.
What?
When they took the first Vivid Entertainment, you know, the porn company.
Yes, I know what Vivid is. Yeah.
Yeah, they wanted me to do porn as the paranormal sex symbol. They said, watch him spray ectoplasm everywhere. And I said, no, I can't do that.
Oh. Oh. Bad joke there. There's no rim shot on that one.
Oh.
Yeah, they did
go there.
Thing, but I had to turn it down.
All right, this has gone to shit.
We're going back into the paranormal now since Jeff made me almost throw up in my mouth. Yeah, do you guys try different things when you're, well, obviously not when you're doing client cases, but when you're just going to haunted locations, do you try different things? Because like Jeff mentioned earlier, we tried something where, you know, my theory, I've been trying to keep record of it, is every investigation where we go to a haunted location, I'll mix up what type of teams I have. Like, for instance, I might have, if I got 8 people, I'll send four teams of two and
yep.
send them out in different areas. But then,
yep.
and we'll do that for 45 minutes, and then we'll come back, and then we'll do an isolation. And we did an isolation in rooms that we have DVR cameras in. And we'll send somebody in. One of the investigators will go in by themselves and sit down and do an EVP session, and we'll monitor them on the video, DVR. And then we'll do group experiments where we bring the whole team together, and we'll go in one room of the location and do EVP, ghost box, whatever. But we'll put the whole team in there because I'm trying to see – What the spirits like? Do they like talking to individuals? Do they like talking to a small group? Or do they talk to a large group? And just trying to check out different ways of investigating.
Right.
Well, I just came up with a brilliant idea on the next time we do a case, and it's supposed to be like something evil or like a pissed off spirit.
What?
You just send me in there, and I'm going to annoy the hell out of it by just going, are you possessed yet? Are you possessed yet? Are you possessed yet? Are you possessed yet? Are you possessed? Just over and over and over again.
It's going to possess you because it's going to get pissed off.
No, I figure eventually he'll just get pissed off and just leave.
Well, I don't know.
Actually, I would say that would work badly. Because it can get, it will play with you and the rest of the team, you know.
Oh, it wouldn't be the first.
If it's a true demonic, it can go anywhere it wants to. It can feed into your will, break you down. It doesn't discriminate, you know. Because you talk about a malevolent spirit, it's going to screw you back. You know,
yeah.
It will screw you around. It'll make you feel like you're possessed. You know, it will screw you around.
I just annoy the crap out of it and make it wish it's never been there.
No, then it'll just follow you home. It'll just follow you home and annoy the hell out of you.
No, I'll annoy it. I annoy the dog, okay? Do you know how bad that is? I annoy my dog. Something else is coming into my house, I'm going to annoy the hell out of it, too. That's why nobody comes to see me.
But, yeah, you know, and speaking of that, you know, and we talked about that a little bit, you know, in my experiences, the malevolent inhuman spirits, they can actually torment other spirits, human spirits.
Oh, yeah.
They can trap them in a location and give them as much grief as they're giving the living.
Oh, very true. Very, very true.
And it could be a
malevolent spirit that's not causing any harm, you know, and something can trigger it, bring it out, and actually can manifest something even worse. You know?
Yeah.
Like same idea as a Ouija board. You know, you have the best intention is to contact your aunt Tilly. You know, and until he's going and talking to you, and it could be just something else right behind her, coming right through that portal. Or it could be her herself. You know, it's something, you know, you definitely don't want to screw around with stuff like that. You know, you definitely don't want to, you know, be careful what you do. It could be a most, it people, as you know. You know, but it if you have that negative vibe in you, you have like a, for example, if you have a bad day, you have a bad day at home and you're going to an investigation, you know, you have that, all that torment in the whole day, you're going to negative and you're going to an investigation, guess what, you're going to be a target because you got that negative energy flowing through you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then you want to egg it on, so then you got more negative energy going through you because then you don't want what's going to happen. You know, and that's the safety of your clients. That's the safety of your team. You know,
right.
You really have to think before you do any type of investigation. You know, I call it a no-brainer. You know, everybody's got tough and turmoil. Everybody's got stress in their life. If you've got an investigation on a weekend, okay, Saturday you got bad news, you got something going on in your family, you can't deal with it. Cancel the investigation.
Yep.
Or don't go yourself. Bring the rest of your team. Go in there and see how they're doing, and they can do an investigation. Don't go.
I agree 100% on that.
You know,
we had a case come up back around Thanksgiving, and it was, we were going to go visit the folks at their house the night before Thanksgiving. Well, earlier that day, you know, a longtime friend of mine had passed away from cancer. And the first thing, I just said, I'm not going to be able to go.
Right.
That'd be ridiculous. Turned out it was a good thing I didn't.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because considering I had an inkling of what might be there, and my gut was telling me that you need to stay put because of the day you had had. You know, that was just my instinct, and you agreed with me, and you know, then we went and we found out what was there. Yeah, it would have had a field day with you.
Mm-hmm. And that can't happen.
But, you know, I always tell that to some of the investigators that, you know, if they had a horrific week leading up to the investigation, you know, and, you know, I'll just say, look, you probably don't need to go. You need to take care of, you know, what's going on in your life and don't worry about going on this case, you know, and because all they're doing, they're just wide open. You know, they're wide open to get tormented and it's happened to us. And it wasn't actually a case. It was a conference, and the conference we had four locations to take, you know, the public through.
Oh, yeah.
And two of the members, unbeknownst to me, were having crappy lives, you know, stuff going on in their lives, and they were really down. And we come across, and even the people that are running conference didn't know that this particular spirit was in this location that was, you know, was malevolent. It was a human spirit, but he was a complete asshole. And that sucker affected both those girls. It drained one girl because she's got psychic ability. It drained her so bad that she was just completely out of it.
Oh,
and
God.
It caused the other girl to go from all happy-go-lucky into a conniving bitch that was just yelling and screaming and everything else. And, it was quite an experience, you know, for people that were there. We tried to remove them from the situation. I sent half my team to go deal with those two away from the public, and myself and my dad ended up leading the people through the location by ourselves. You know? So, yeah, things can happen, and you gotta, like you said, you know, if you're having a horrific week, then you shouldn't go on that investigation.
No, but the thing is, sometimes people don't listen. You know, and they want to go because they think they'll be better, and they will feel better doing something like this. How is it unadvisable? You know, I've had situations that happen. I had a person was really adamant on going because they feel like they need to be there. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to watch you. I'm going to babysit you for the rest of the night. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to babysit you and see what's going on. But if you have any inkling of anything's going on, I'm kicking you out of the house. I'm sending you home. You know, so it's like, you know, it you take a toll, especially you're doing a client's house. You don't want someone like that in the house. Like a wrecking trip or something, yeah, okay, no big deal. But if you want someone's home and that already have that situation, like, yeah, okay, of course I do a perimeter investigation outside the house. You know, nobody inside the house.
Right.
You
don't
have an advocate, but hey, you know what? You got to do what you got to do, you know.
You can't
make everybody happy.
Right.
Yeah, and I've told people numerous times, you know, I sound like a broken record, and I'll say, if you're in somewhere in the location and you get the feeling you shouldn't be there, or you have the feeling to run away, or, you know, those bad feelings, then get your butt out of there. Get your butt out of there. Tell somebody, get your butt out of there, and I'll send another team in to where you were. Because obviously there's something in there that's affecting you. So you get yourself out of the situation, I'll send somebody else in there and see if they can test anything.
With me, I always have a buddy system, no matter what. No one goes anywhere by themselves. I always have someone with them, you know. Just because of that situation.
We do that too, you know. Like I told them, I said if one of your team members their whole demeanor changes, and you know they start acting weird or whatever it might be, get them out of there.
Yep. Definitely.
That's why I said when we do isolation, when we actually send one investigator in, we actually have to, you know, we put them in a room where we got cameras on them so that we can watch them. It's just in case something starts happening, you know, because
as long as you have someone at the base watching the watching DVR all the time, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if there's nothing, if no one's watching it, no, that's an issue. It shouldn't be, but left alone, I mean left alone, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I've seen that with a lot of teams, leaving members behind. Like, you serious, really? You know, it's the thinking. You know, what happens if something happens? It's like a person has an anxiety attack and, like, just passes out. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, call the client?
Yeah.
What
happens if you're in one of these, you know, there's a lot of locations you go to that are not being upkept and whatnot, and they're falling apart. You know, there's a lot of trip hazards and things that you can get hurt. And if you're by yourself, who's going to get help for you, you know?
Right. The one thing, issues with that is, like, even, you know, old dilapidated and abandoned homes or asylums, all that, you know, you can breathe mm-hmm. stuff in and make you sick, you know? Like I said, when you go into someone's house or you go in someone and going somewhere and you always wanted to visit, but you got to think safety-wise,
mm-hmm.
you know, with your members, you know, health-wise, spiritual-wise, you know, are you able to handle it? Are you able to handle a lockdown for 24 hours? Because
mm-hmm.
it's a new thing now. It's just because everyone's doing a lockdown now. You know, are you ready to be prepared for a lockdown? Are you really prepared? It's not just, next week we're going to do a lockdown. All right, awesome, let's go. You know, it's not like that. It's months ahead before you're going to do a lockdown. You got to prepare yourself, bring the right, bring food with you and Maurice if you have to. It's 24 hours, yeah. You're not staying there for a whole week, but it's 24 hours. We got to be ready for everything and anything. You know, especially if like no communication. In some of the places,
mm-hmm.
you don't get any service on your phones.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's like, you're going in there haphazardly. You don't know what you're doing. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to get hurt. I forget who it was. You probably guys know who it is. It was an investigation at some abandoned factory, and someone fell down an elevator shaft because they didn't see where they were going.
Mm-hmm.
They had the proper equipment. And they died falling down an elevator shaft. You know?
Yeah.
They had a lockdown. And, they had to wait until morning to get someone, the ambulance there.
Wow.
You know? It's like, you know, think. Think, people. It's so easy to think. But, you know, I think people don't think anymore. They really don't. And they really don't. And they don't want to hear advice. They want to fill up themselves. Oh, yeah, there's a plot twist for you. You know, guess what? It's not what you think. You know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, people get sick. And there's another team I know that a founder of a team's wife got sick from breathing in things from the attic. They didn't have respiratory, any masks or anything, and she breathed in stuff, and she got terminally ill, and she passed away. You know, it's horrific. People don't think. And when someone gives you advice, if I'm giving someone advice, not because I'm like, I'm an asshole, I don't think mm-hmm. I'm better than you, I'm giving you knowledge that you could use. You know, I tell you if I go and tell you, hey, it's not a good idea to drink before you do an investigation. That means you don't drink before you do an investigation. And if you drink before an investigation, that's on you, not on me.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? There are things that do that.
Yeah, what they don't understand. What they don't understand when you drink alcohol or drugs or whatnot, it breaks you down. It opens you up more.
And Oh, yeah, you'll open up, like I said before, like Jeff, he was a beacon, you know?
Yeah.
You're a beacon. You have all your shields down. You know, you're already drunk. You're already maybe almost intoxicated, borderline intoxicated. You're doing an investigation, some graveyard or whatever. Yeah, guess what? The ass are going to be handed over to him, you know?
Yeah, yep. You know, and a lot of the demonic type cases that I've gotten in the past, and of course the client doesn't want to divulge everything right off the bat. It takes a while to get it out of them, and then they'll say, "Oh, yeah, we got a Ouija board out, and we were drinking, and we decided to play with the Ouija board." And I'm like, "Oh my God! So not only were you playing with the Ouija board, you were drunk doing it. Oh, that's great."
Uh huh.
No wonder you got crap in your house.
Well, I had an investigation. I'm not even kidding. I think I talked about when I was on Terrify with you. But I had a house that had, I think, over seven teams, and they all have issues, all of them. Down to the point when the client actually painted their wall, fresh paint, and a team actually put permanent marker on their wall to show where a shadow person was. To set up the cameras.
God.
And set up their laser grids and all that. I'm like, are you kidding me? Another team put duct tape instead of electrical tape instead of painter's tape. They used duct tape. And ripped up carpeting.
Wow.
Way to go.
Another team comes in and actually started a domestic altercation with a husband and wife team. And they started a domestic dispute inside the client's house. And I'm like,
wow.
Now, is this paranormal going on or just pure stupidity?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, what's going on? You know, see, and I don't mind having, because I can say, yeah, I helped this family. And it's what sucks is that all these paranormal teams, they're reluctant to ask anybody because of stupidity. Just simple logic. Just simple, you know, common sense, which a lot of people lack thereof, I suppose. But,
yeah.
I agree.
It's just that. It's just sad. It's sad.
I had a buddy of mine that's in the field. He took a photograph of him. He took a photograph in his house, and he was smoking his e-cigarette and blew some of that water vapor out in front of the camera. It formed an interesting picture, and he did it on purpose. And he purposely put it on the internet and said, "Hey guys, what do you think of this picture?" He didn't say anything about ghosts or anything, and you would be amazed at how many said, "Oh, it's a spirit."
I'm not amazed. I'm not amazed at all. I am not in the slightest amazed. You have to understand, I've done this for nearly 30 years. Okay.
Yeah.
I've gotten emails upon emails, Facebook messages, you know, real snail mail, even text messaging of photos. I can pinpoint things and they get mad. I'm like, okay, who was it? Was it cold that night? Yeah. Did you hold your breath when you took a picture? No. That was your breath. Well, whether it was disabandoned, you didn't hold your breath, did you? No. That was your breath.
Yeah.
You know, was it really warm outside? Yeah, with a lot of dirt in the road? Yeah, that's dust. That's dirt. But this is dust. No, that was dirt. That was dust. In a house.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in an abandoned house. I'm like, look, I caught an orb. Oh, that's awesome. Wait a minute. Quick, take a picture of this. Me swiping my feet all across the floor. I bet you can find 1,000 now.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sorry, but it's truth hurts. You know, they so want the evidence. They so want that. I want it. I'm like, you're going to start seeing everything in every picture. Relax. You know, take what's really credible. You know, I can start looking at a picture and like, wow, it's trippy. Wow, it can change faces. Look, it's Scooby-Doo in the gang. You just got to be careful what you're doing and what you're saying and what you're presenting evidence to clients. To really something, something out of the park and say, wow, that's something I can't explain. You know, I can't tell you all the stuff I've caught and I've like, dismissed it. Because, oh, that was pretty cool, but this can be this and this can be that and this and that. Wow, I actually got a footprint of a demon in someone's home. Now, that's cool. Like, wait a minute. Let's see what. Let's back up a bit, okay? Okay. It looks like a hoof. All right. So why is this imprint on this floor? Okay, that's construction. All right, the day prior, there was construction workers in their home. Okay. Okay, so someone kneeled down with their knee, with a knee pad, and pulled up. Okay, that's what it is. It's someone's knee pad on a floor making a hoof print.
Mm-hmm.
It's a demon. No, it's someone kneeling down on the floor. It's full of sawdust.
Yeah.
And people don't want to hear that.
When it comes to video and pictures, especially pictures, it's so hard. You got to, it's just the best picture that we've ever taken wasn't even on an investigation. It was on a ghost walk in Jefferson, Texas. Yep. And it's actually my profile picture on Facebook. And, we got several pieces of evidence. We got an EVP at the same time the picture was taken. And my dad took several pictures, and I didn't post the other pictures because I just posted the one of the entity. But there's a picture prior to it coming into focus that it's coming in the frame, and then the picture afterwards is part of it leaving the frame. And we got video of this mist crossing the yard and moving around the yard in kind of an intelligent manner, and we got an EVP. So we got multiple things going on, to back up a photograph, right?
Right.
But, most things out there, it's just, people try so hard, they look into it, they sit there and they stare and they stare and they stare. Yeah, your mind's going to, if your mind doesn't recognize what you're looking at, it's going to try to figure out something similar.
Exactly. There's an old tale. There's an old, old tale. And I believe it was during the Mayan civilization. I can't remember exactly what the time was, but it was the Mayans were in front of water, and they couldn't make out what they could see in front of them. They know they saw something, but they didn't know what it was because their minds couldn't comprehend what they saw until it was right in front of them. And it was ships. And there were people coming out and attacking them. Now, historically, you can find it. I can't remember who it was now. Who was an invader or who was the, my mind escapes me. But the Mayans saw something. They couldn't understand. They couldn't wrap their minds out. They thought they were their gods. And then when they were kneeling, and they didn't know what was going on until they were right in front of them, and they were swatting everyone around them. And that's like matrixing or pedaria or whatever you want to call it. It's like when you see something, you try to make your mind can't comprehend what you're seeing. It makes its own images. And you concentrate on something enough, you'll see stuff. Definitely. Like right now, I'm in a cellar so I can have, peace and quiet. I'm in my basement, okay? But turn off the lights. And in complete silence, I'll start hearing everything. So my mind will start rolling, my mind start rolling, and I'll start hearing more things. Then my mind will take pictures of what's going on because it can't see. My mind can't see. My brain cannot see. So I'll make things appear to be in front of me. Is the same idea. Especially when you're doing investigations and you're always in the dark and your adrenaline's pumping, and you're going to start seeing everything. You know, your eyes trying to adjust, you know, and it'll start being, you know, you'll start adjusting, you start seeing everything more clearly. But then again, you already had the mind going, and you're like, oh, I'm going to see something. You know, I'm almost psyched out, you know.
Yeah, it's,
oh, yeah. You know, it's what your mind perceives.
Yeah, and, you know, when you, and I've said this before on the radio, you know, if you're a paranormal team and say you're about to go to Waverly Hills, well, Waverly Hills is known to have spirits, and hundreds of teams, if not thousands of teams, have been through there, you know, and, you know, documented there's things there. So you already have in your mind when you walk, before you walk in that place, that there's spirits there, right?
Yep.
So you've already set your mind up to be wanting to see things and this, that, and other because, you know, hey, I'm going to Waverly Hills, I'm going to catch something, you know? So,
right.
You know, you wonder sometimes how much us as investigators influence an investigation.
Oh, yeah.
And what goes on. Yeah, and, you know, so some of my buddies that are more on the scientific side of the field are actually testing some of this out by putting monitors on investigators, monitoring their heart rate, blood pressure, the whole nine yards, and see what happens to us physically when a paranormal experience happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're doing. They're instead of studying the spirits, they're actually studying the investigators.
Yep. Well, I said earlier, your body is the best tool.
Mm-hmm.
So that will definitely, that's a great, great, great research. That's some great experiments.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you know, definitely when you someone's mind and someone's consciousness can create things. Like I said before, there's been experiments on, like, the Phillips experiment that was in Canada. That
mm-hmm.
a whole group of people created an entity that never existed before. It never existed, and they created it just to prepare a spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's possible. So you go to somewhere that's known for this paranormal activity. So you already got that mindset, you're going to catch something. So you're already creating that instance of that experiment that's going to happen. So you're
right.
Something's going to happen. It's probably not, you know, it's probably your doing, you know. It's like, it's even demonics. If someone's on medication and they already see things and they watch shows on TV, they're going to start to see demons. And they're honestly hurt. And they're honestly, you know, in peril. Then you
mm-hmm.
have those people that come in like, all right, I'm going to catch a demon, you know. No. You're going into someone that's not stable. Not necessarily a demon. But you get someone that's unstable and you get that manifestation already probably increasing and creating because she or he is manifesting herself. Because she's in that mindset.
Oh, yeah. Because we already know through years of documentation and some of the research that people have done that, you know, teenagers that are going through puberty can manifest paranormal activity as well,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Here's a word that you need to look up, okay? It's
mm-hmm.
called tulpa. I'll spell it for you. T as in Tom, U as in umbrella, L as in lamb or Larry, P as in peach, A as in apple. It's called a tulpa.
Mm-hmm.
You research that word and see what you come up with. Because that is actually something that you create in your own mind, another version of yourself, your inner voice. You create it.
Mm-hmm.
You can think of it as your imaginary friend. As a child,
mm-hmm.
you know, talk to imaginary friends, whatever. You put enough mind to enough thought in it, you create it and have its own energy. And actually, if it's so if you concentrate hard enough and long enough and meditate enough, you can actually create it and manifest it, the full apparition of it.
Mm-hmm.
So look it up. It's called Tulpa. T-U-L-P-A.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can create this out of your own mind. And actually, it comes with a psychic abilities. People say it's their guides, their spirit guides, their angels, their guardian angels, whatever you want to call them. You know, it's their tulpa because they concentrate and meditate on it so much, and it creates and manifests.
Ooh.
Now, here's a scary thought. If things can go wrong with creating your tulpa, that tulpa can and will possess you.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
New research for you guys out there, you know, in Radio Land, and you guys out there, tulpa. And probably what you find is probably, I might say too high, but I want to say 70 to 85% of what's going on paranormal wise, it's people's tulpas.
Yeah.
Your own creation that can manifest. That our minds, we only have 10% what we use in our own minds.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that rest of 90%? You know?
No, yeah.
They did research, they have documentations that we do have a soul. When we die,
mm-hmm.
we actually lose weight when we die. They take in all the excretions, all the bile, all the urine, everything that comes out, dried up into a reason, and they still can't figure out what's the other weight that's been going off of the body while someone passes. They can't explain that.
Mm-hmm.
And they found there's documentations on it. What happens when we cross over? We are all energy. Think about it. We all are energy. Well, I'm standing on my feet on cement. I am one with the cement. I'm part of that chemistry that's in that cement. I'm part of that cement because there's minerals in my body that actually coincide with that cement, the air that we breathe. Insects.
Mm-hmm.
We're part of insects. There's insect DNA in our bodies. Look that up. Don't really gonna blow your mind. There's insect DNA in our bodies. Just think about it. If we were created by man and we evolved from Neanderthal to where we are right now, modern man. Think of all the insects that bit in our generation before that. You know, all the mosquitoes are the size of like helicopters. Kill helicopters and biting and feeding off of bodies. Of course, you get the DNA from them, from saliva. You go, look, we should research that. It's actually true. You know, and actually there's actually research that our next, if we actually evolve even more than we are, we will turn insect-like or even lizard-like. If you look at that, it's going to blow your mind. So we're all, and all energy-based.
Yeah.
What we create in our own minds, it's very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see something on TV that you like the show, I want to watch Ghost Hunters and back-to-back Ghost Adventures. Well, there you go. You start thinking, wow, I wonder if my house is haunted. And you dwell on it. And you think about it. Okay, I start hearing things. Well, that's just the house settling down. Bang! Okay, what the hell was that? There you go. You start creating your own tulpa, your own energy presence, your own apparition, your own entity, your own demon, so to speak. Your mind's a very powerful thing.
Definitely. Well, thanks, Joe, so much for coming on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for asking.
Hey, not a problem, man. I always enjoy talking to you.
And we have to do it again.
Oh, definitely. You got any websites or anything you want to throw out there for people if they want to talk to you or learn more about you?
Oh, sure. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me at Psychic Minister on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook at Joe Andre, Demonologist. Just put Joanne Reed, and not too many Joanne Reeds out there. There's a demonologist. You'll find me there. You can even Google my name, see Joanne Reed, and you see Nightly Paranormal, you'll find me. My Nightly Paranormal page is down, so I that website is down. But you can find me also at www.josephandreed.webs.com. You can find me there too. And my email's there. You can contact me on Facebook and on through Twitter from there and regular email. If you have any questions, any counsel, I am free for giving advice. I don't charge anybody for anything. You know, I do some psychic readings and stuff, and that's very far in between. I haven't done it in a while.
Right.
You know, that's pretty much it. But if I go with someone to ask for counsel, any advice, if I'm doing any investigations, I charge nothing. Not a dime, you know. But if someone's, like, in California and wants my help, I'd like to have some money for travel, you know. that's really expensive for me, you know, to go across country, you know. That's pretty much it. If you actually buy me dinner and make me dinner or have me a place to sleep, that's fine with me. That's enough payment. You know, make me a dinner, make me a nice pot roast dinner, I'll be happy. You know,
sweet.
That's pretty much
it. All right, Joe. Well, you have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Oh, you guys too. Take care now.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye. You still awake, Jeff?
Yep, I'm here.
I always like talking to Joe. He's a good guy.
Cool.
Yeah, you did make me fill up my mouth a little bit with that one comment.
Yes.
But definitely, since you got such a... what kind of humor do I want to say it is?
Sick
humor. You definitely,
yeah.
Jeff, want to watch This Is the End with Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill. I watched it this weekend. It's completely out there as far as comedy. And they play themselves. And, you know, even the special effects are kind of corny, but they did it on purpose because it's, comedy. Right, but it's a take on the whole end of the world. They got demons chasing them around and whatnot, and it's hilarious. You'll laugh your ass off. You want a good laugh.
Nice.
Well, yeah, that is it for tonight. We got going on next week. Oh, next week we have the Debunker Boys from our own network. We'll be on this show. They're on Saturday night, so the Debunker Boys will be on this show next Sunday. And Tuesday on Terrify, we'll have All-Girl Paranormal Society on with myself and Jody Parks. So,
nice.
And be watching out for Jody, the Queen of Burps, was on the Steve Harvey show. She did the taping last week, so it'll be airing in the next couple weeks.
Cool.
So. If you watch daytime talk shows. I don't because I'm at work, and Jeff as well. But for anybody else out there, there you go. That's all my selfless plugs for tonight. Now it's time to go watch some television. So good night, everybody.
Good night, folks. And I'm going to find some music to play us out here.
I was waiting on you. That's why I kept doing all those plugs.